Hello everyone and welcome to the Be Light, Shine Bright podcast. My name is Pakala Kiara and I'll be your host. Here we discuss life and how the different facets of it can influence our mental health. We will talk about therapy, interventions, mental health and life experiences. Remember, if you like it, feel free to give us a share and invite your friends and loved ones to listen. In this episode, I wanted to talk to you guys about adjustment and readjustment. I guess what I mean by that is that often we have a plan for our life or a plan for our day or a plan for our year, and it can get interrupted. It can go off the rails for whatever reason. And usually it's not something within our control. It's usually something outside of our control that kind of upsets our apple cart or, you know, makes us veer off course, I guess. And it can be really hard to deal with sometimes. I find it particularly hard myself. Since my ASD diagnosis, I can see a lot of mine comes or stems from that, from being neurodivergent. I think everybody suffers a degree of uncomfortable or discomfort or distress even when our plans don't go as we imagine them to. And it can be little things. It can be we missed our bus, so now we're late for uni or work, or we aren't expecting something to get taken out of our bank account, whether it's a bill or a fee or I don't know, something like that. Perhaps something ends up costing more than we predicted that it would, or it can be big things. Obviously, I've spoken about this before in my podcast episodes, but you know, finding out that my child had a congenital heart defect while I was pregnant, was not really what I was hoping to find out at that 20-week scan. I kind of had my eyes more on whether or not he would be a boy or a girl, but things like this can just get thrown at us and be very unexpected, and the fallout can be huge. Like that was huge for me, but it can be the same with other people. Unexpected deaths are big ones, really big ones, or losing your job, and that might be something that's happening a lot at the moment. What with COVID, what with different mandates and government interventions, things aren't looking as kind of stable as we're used to, just in general. Plans for holidays out the window. So adjustment and readjustment was something I kind of wanted to address. So we've kind of talked about a few of different things that can happen that might be the cause of us needing to adjust or readjust. But how do we do that? Like, it's easy for me to say, oh, there's these things that come up and we just got to deal with it and move on and get on with it. Often people will engage in things like toxic positivity. And I've done a post on that on my Instagram, which I can reshare. But toxic positivity is like not allowing any other emotion. So often people do this when they're wanting a person to feel better, but it has the adverse reaction of making you feel worse. So when people say things like good vibes only, that's kind of a toxic positivity statement. All feelings are valid and welcome. Other things are like perhaps your pet has died and someone says, oh, they're in a better place now. What? Like, it's well-meaning often, but comes across really kind of harsh and blunt and takes away our right to feel valid emotions. It's okay to grieve the loss of a pet. It's also okay to feel anything other than happy. We are not made to be happy 100% of the time, believe it or not. We have emotions for different reasons. Sadness offers a release. I've talked about tears before in some of my podcast episodes, but tears are not just physical. They're not just to get dust out of our eyes. They are really helpful in releasing emotion and signaling to our brain that it needs to release neurochemicals and neurotransmitters that calm us down and make us happy again. It also signals to others that we might need some support. If other people see us sad, they usually want to come and make us feel a bit better, well, usually. There are those, and they're probably the same people that engage in toxic positivity, that just want you to stop crying. But often validating. So when we're talking about ourselves, when our plans kind of go out the window, we need to validate ourselves. We need to allow space. Sometimes we need to allow space for grieving the loss of what we thought we would have. And that's not being silly or overreacting or being too deep in your feels. It's acknowledging that this is a really big thing or a tough thing that I've had to deal with. It's a huge thing that I might need some time to adjust to. So I think the first step in adjustment and readjustment is validating your own feelings and recognizing just how big and momentous something is. Often it's socially accepted in our culture to kind of push things away or down or distract or, you know, drink away our troubles or party away our troubles or cover it over with other things that we have to do. Often we will not allow ourselves the right amount of time or space to grieve a loss or to adjust even. Sometimes we are already jumping into the next thing. But I think it's good to validate and sit with ourselves and introspect. Often we need some time to think about, okay, what went wrong there? Is it something that I'm going to repeat? Or is there something I could have done to make that a bit better? Or what do I actually want to do now that that thing's not there anymore? So depending on what the thing is that you're needing to adjust to, introspect about it. Look at it from different angles. Look at what, if it's a job and you've lost your job, what did I like about my last job? What didn't I like? What do I want in my next job? What do I want my work hours to look like? What do I want my actual job to be? Is it something, what am I passionate about? Is it something that I want to follow? Do I want to follow my heart and my dreams? Or do I want, is stability more important to me? Is a paycheck from day to day that's stable, is that more important to me at the moment? Maybe your last job you had to do lots of things and you were really busy all the time and you were the boss and you were kind of in control. And now you're like, I think I'm going to go through a period of where I'm working for someone else and somebody else calls the shots and that takes the pressure off me a little bit and I can kind of clock in and be at work during my work hours and then clock out and be at home during my home hours. Or you might want more control. You might go, I don't really like working for another person. I kind of want to explore my own passions and my own skills and gifts, and I want to work for myself and I want to create a business. So looking at the kind of things that you want is the next step. If that's really hard, looking at the things that you don't want can help you figure out what you do want. Might sound like a bit of a weird concept, but often when we don't want to experience something, we really, really know that we don't want that. It can be so kind of pervasive that we don't, there's no room left for what we kind of do want. But the trick is, I wouldn't even say reframe, the trick is to use that and to look at that and go, okay, I know what I don't want. What is the opposite of that? Usually the opposite of what we don't want is exactly what we do want. So that is called contrast. And seeing that contrast is actually a bit of a gift. It's kind of like in one of my previous podcast episodes from last year where I talked about triggers and the gift of a trigger. is looking at, well, I didn't like experiencing that, and I don't like experiencing that, so what is it that I actually want? What do I need to heal? And this is the same. I don't want to have a job like that. I want to have a job like this. So using that contrast as a tool is a really great way to kind of get in touch with the core of yourself, and it can really help with readjusting.
This is a short interruption to let you know that if you or a loved one is experiencing difficulty or is in need of more support, you can find me at maramacounseling.com. Be sure to check out the audio resources page also, where you'll have access to a number of free resources that will help you to feel relaxed. Be sure to take advantage of my 20-minute free initial session. I am also on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Can't wait to work with you.
Now, I have used contrast myself in many different situations. Once I got the hang of it, it's a little bit hard to get the hang of at first. Well, I thought it was. It might be easy for you. But once I got the hang of that, I was really able to use contrast for situations that gave me really, really bad anxiety or felt quite dark, were quite dark and stressful and full of pressure and all that other things. But, and I always come back to this, but really it is because it's one of the worst experiences of my life. But a time when I was quite full of dread and anxiety and horror even was the lead up to my son's open heart surgery. He was a baby, 8 months old at the time of his surgery. So those 8 months were full of kind of uncertainty, unknowns, not knowing when he would need the surgery, just knowing he definitely needed it, and definitely before his first birthday. Very anxious time, and it was my, to use a COVID terminology, which I kind of hate, it was my new normal. Gone were the days of carefree. You don't even realize it's carefree until something worse comes along. But my days are always full of anxiety still. It's just learning how to cope with it and adjust and readjust. So I use contrast to get me through that. So when, naturally, when we go through times like this or things that we are scared of, we are often flooded with thoughts of what could possibly go wrong. And usually our mind can jump to the worst possible thing. And to get me through that time, I really visualized the opposite. So the day where I really felt the true power of this was when they actually took him in for surgery. He was meant to go in the morning, but they didn't take him until the afternoon. So it was a very long wait that day. But the whole time he was in surgery, I did not allow myself to think of the worst possible scenario. I constantly brought my focus back to the reality that I wanted to experience, which was he would come out of his surgery safe and well and relatively healthy as you can be with your chest cut open and being in intensive care. But that was the reality that I pictured, was him opening his little eyes and looking at me, or just being safely in the NICU, and his stats all perfect on all the various machines. And that's what I kept bringing myself back to. I'm not saying that my mind didn't wander a little bit and feel like it was being sucked or pulled to the other possible scenarios, but I constantly returned my focus to that. And sometimes to do these kinds of things, we need to cut out distractions. So for you, when you are working with your contrast, you really know what you don't want to experience. Don't want that. I don't want long work hours, for example. I don't want to be bossed around by anybody else. So what's the contrast of that? I get to choose my hours may be the contrast for you, or the opposite for you of not working long hours. Not being bossed around might look a bit like opening your own business and working for yourself. Whatever your situation is, where you are having an undesired experience, there is a contrast, and that contrast is your desired experience. So once you kind of wrap your head around it, it's actually pretty cool. It's like having a really clear arrow pointing towards what it is that you want. And it stemmed from, all things, your fear and anxiety. There's a lot of fear and anxiety going around at the moment. It's palpable to me. I feel it all the time in other people. But the way that I get through it and not play into it, to use a phrase from my mum, is to focus on my desired reality and what it is that I want to experience in this life and what I would like others to experience. And that really helps me get through and adjust and readjust. And a quote, going back to my quotes, I always love quotes, that I really like, that kind of applies in this situation with the adjustment and the readjustment, is you don't have a right to the cards you believe you should have been dealt. You have an obligation to play the hell out of the ones that you're holding. That's by Cheryl Strayed. And I really like that quote, because often we can get caught up in the life that we envision for ourselves, or the life that we thought we should have had. But sometimes that's not what happens. So we're not entitled to that. That's just a vision that we had. But we are obligated to work with what we've got and what we may have been dealt. It may be totally different to what you thought was going to happen. That doesn't mean it can't still be great. It doesn't mean it can't be better than what you had envisioned for yourself. So I hope that little tip on adjustment and readjustment helps. There's probably a few other things that we can do when adjusting and readjusting, but I think that concept of contrast is one that, once you wrap your head around, can be really, really useful. And there's so many quotes about fear in movies. Fear and anxiety, it's just your mind trying to trick you. It's actually a way of your mind trying to keep you safe. However, it often has the other kind of result. We feel more anxious, we feel more yucky than we do when we're not scared and when we have courage. Gratitude is also a great tool for adjustment and readjustment. And having gratitude for things that you might not often express gratitude for. So gratitude lists are a really great tool to utilize. I recommend this to a lot of my younger clients, just to get them in that kind of habit of looking for things to be grateful for. But they say gratitude is the best attitude. But even yourself as an adult, having a gratitude list that you either list just verbally in your mind or actually physically write it down every night. You can start with 5 and go to 10. Some people list 50 things that they are grateful for every day. Personally, I think that's a little bit too time consuming for my schedule at the moment, but 10 is a good number for me. So look for 10 things in your day and acknowledge them. And you can do this to yourself before you go to sleep, or you can do this out aloud as they happen during the day. I love expressing gratitude. People are always so chuffed by it. They like that appreciation. I think everybody deserves to be appreciated for their efforts and things that they do. And it's infectious once we start pointing out things that we're grateful for and modeling that kind of behavior. People return it to us as well. I definitely think that we do receive what we give out in some form or another. I hope this episode has been helpful to you, and I look forward to bringing you some more throughout this year.
This concludes this episode of the Be Light, Shine Bright podcast from Marama Counseling. I'm Pakala Kiara, and I hope you enjoyed listening today. Keep your eyes peeled and your ears ready for more episodes in the future. And remember, be light, shine bright. Until next time.